The white collar exemptions. This is the key part of the whole FLSA. These are the exemptions that have the exemptions from the overtime provisions. And so there's four categories there. The thing that I want to talk about here is the one that everybody always confuses. And it's confusing. If you're not in HR or you don't do labor and employment law, this is confusing because people get the terms exempt and non-exempt confused. And here's where it comes down to. If you are paid a salary, can you get overtime? And the answer to that question is always going to be yes. Okay. And people think, well, no, if you get a salary, no. There is the salary basis test, but there's also the salary duties. And those two things go hand in hand. So you may be paid a salary basis, but because of your duties, you do not meet the exemption. So it's entirely possible to have non-exempt salaried folks. So that's a very important thing to sit down and explain to managers. And a really, really important reason why the management team needs to understand the distinction is because this is where the classifications fall down. And if you have misclassified someone, meaning you have put them in one of the exemptions and they don't meet the duties functions of that exemption, that is a wage and hour violation. If you have done so willfully, you can go back 3 years. If you've done so because you really didn't know, you go back 2 years. But there is back pay liability on top of that, and it's double damages. Now, that is where you have what's called FLSA collective actions. Those are basically FLSA class action lawsuits. And there's a whole bunch of firms around the country today, law firms, that's all they do are FLSA class action lawsuits over things like these exemptions. So we're going to kind of process our way through these, but those are just some of the tips we'll talk about as we go, as we work our way through this. Okay. So the three tests for the exemption: the salary level, the salary basis, and the job duties. These three things go hand in hand, and you have to put all of them together, okay? And that's where some of the changes that came into effect on January 1st come into play. So the new rules, the salary level increases. There are now special salary levels, and they're now non-discretionary bonuses that can contribute to the requirement for the exemption. So here's the biggest change. And remember, some of you may have been watching this debate because when it first came out at the end of President Obama's term, the rate that they were going to raise it to was like 980 something, I believe it was. And that caused a whole lot of, you know, discussion. And so they rolled it back. So it went from 455, then it was going to be 984 in the Obama administration. Then it got changed back and in the Trump administration. And what finally passed is 684 per week. So that changed. The highly compensated employee threshold changed to $107,000. It was going to be previously $110,000. So many of you, in anticipation of that change a couple of years ago, and it seems like a long time, may have already started reclassifying some of your employees, and many employers did, because the threshold of the previous amount meant that a whole bunch of people were going to be eligible for overtime who previously had not been. So, you know, part of the dynamic at play here was finding what that tension was going to be in the business community about what that effective rate should be. And so they dialed it back from the 900 to 684. Now, here's something that is new. Non-discretionary bonuses, and these are things including any kind of commissions, all that kind of stuff, they may be used to form up to 10% of the standard salary and the special salary minimums. So, you know, this is going to affect the basis and how you compensate people as to whether you can get them to where they need to be for the exemption. So that is a new part of this rule. If you go to the DOL's website, they actually have some fact sheets, or actually it's DOL fact sheets, on the non-discretionary bonuses and incentive payments. So you can actually get a lot more detail about that than what we're going to have time to go through on this session. So they allow catch-up payments. So if you don't earn enough from the non-discretionary bonus, you know, in that 52-week period, you can make a catch-up payment in one pay period at the end of that to do that. So they have a formula in there in place for you to do that as an employer to take advantage of that particular option. Now, this is where it really gets interesting, the salary level, okay? The minimum salary requirement for people is $684 a week. It's got to be paid free and clear. I have math anxiety, so when I calculate that out, I have to tend to do things in annual. I think it's like 35,568 or something like that. Somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, and I won't hurt my feelings. But it's around $35,500 annually a year. And so you've got to be paid above that and meet the duties tests for each of the categories, the exemptions, to see where you fall. Okay. But that is the salary threshold level, and that's what people mean when they're talking about that.